This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Join us as we scamper between pot plants, secateurs, recip saws and fronds with benefits. If you need a permission slip to prune, you are in the right place. If you need penance for pruning too much, you are also in the right place. Find out how to repent right here on Roots and Shoots with her and me. 1300 22 1025. Call now. Sabrina Hahn comes to us through the magic of technology. Where do we find you, fellow rooter and shooter?
Ah, hello, my little fellow bog witch. I'm actually in Bali, sitting here overlooking a tropical garden with butterflies and enormous grasshoppers, jumping spiders, micro bats, sparrows. It's abundant. I'm in a land of abundance.
Oh, you are. I can hear it in your voice. And I've got to say, I'm a little bit jealous. Hey, if we were to dole out, you know how Catholics, you know, when after they confess, they have to say 10 Hail Marys and stuff. What would we do to our men who prune too much? What kind of penance would we make them pay?
I think they would have to do something like, I will keep my shed locked for 3 months. I will keep my shed locked for 3 months. I will keep my shed locked for 3 months. Or something like, I will take the battery out of the chainsaw. Okay. Or I will...
That's
something
a good
along
one.
Those lines that prevents them from actually having that, you know, that instinctual move to go, oh, I think that branch could come off. That it's not so easy to do that. So if they lock up their shed and they give their combination to the wife, who then changes it, or the partner, or one of their children, then they have to seek permission to actually access the chainsaw.
It's essentially a no tools for you, sir. Lisa is in Bridgetown. Lisa, what would you like to ask Sabrina?
Oh, hi. Hi to both of you. I rang last week about saffron, but this week I've been wanting to know about dandelion. I've been reading a cookbook that was given to me by my dad's cousin who lives in the north of Italy, and had to translate it. And in the cookbook, it talked about the use of dandelion in cooking. And then when I was reading the Blue Zones cookbook, it also talked about the use of dandelion in cooking as a healthy form of vegetable. And is it the variety of dandelion that you see on the side of the road and in your
footpath?
Oh my goodness, okay.
And everywhere that you go in Europe, you will, if you get a traditional salad, a traditional village salad, it will have dandelion leaves in it. You can get dandelion tea everywhere. You can get dandelion soup everywhere. And you can get dandelion root, which they make into a sort of a coffee drink.
Wow.
So dandelion is basically, in Europe, they don't have lawns like we have lawns. So they have all these herbs. And when they do a salad, they just go out into what we would think as a lawn, and they just pick herbs and weeds, and that's their salad.
Right, okay. So it's edible, so we could eat it.
Very edible and very good for you, apparently.
Hey, Lisa, I've just heard there's an edible weed course going on at City Farm. I don't know if they've got any places left, but it sounds like a good
fantastic
thing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, head down for that. Lisa, thanks for calling.
Thank
well
you.
Done. And we have Steve-O from Gero on line 020. How are you going, Steve-O? It's Ambo here.
Well done. I'm fine, thanks.
Is life in Geraldton as good as it's always been? Is it sort of a little bit warmer up there?
Well, it's not bad. It's 20 degrees, but the wind's biting.
Okay.
Yuck. I'm an old kid with the grandchildren, and the wind is blowing, let me tell you.
There you go. That's what children's sport is for, to make you realise that you have joints that could do with a bit of WD-40. What do you need Sabrina Hahn for this morning, sir?
I sent a text message through with a couple of photographs of plants in my front yard.
Yes.
One of them's got a huge stalk, a 10-foot-tall stalk growing out of it. And the last one I had like that, I pulled the stalk out when it looked like it was dying, and the whole plant died. And I've heard that if you chop them off maybe with a saw 6 inches from where you would pull them out normally, the plant can live. I was just wondering if that's true or not.
Sab, can you... Oh, I've wound Sabrina Hahn down. It was the wrong person. Sorry, Sab. Can you see those pics? Sabrina! Oh, sorry, darling. I also turned your microphone off because after 2.5 years, I'm still not quite sure what I'm doing here. How about you... Could you begin back at the beginning for Steve-O?
Let's go. Now, I heard all of what... Oh, but did anyone hear Steve-O?
Everyone heard Steve-O.
Okay, so Steve-O, what you've got is that plant is an agave. And yes, as soon as an agave flowers, it's going to die. A bit like the topic that Amber had before on we're all going to die. Agaves, the middle of the agave that sets the flower, it takes about 8 to 16 years for that flower stalk to appear. So that's why the plant dies. Doesn't matter where you cut it off, that agave, once it flowers, will die. And you will notice where you cut the stalk off, the last one, the first picture, there's all these tiny little baby agaves that are shooting out of where the stem came from. And they do that because they know that the mother plant is going to die.
Okay. Oh, damn.
So, no, but now you've got all the pups. You've got all the little babies, Steve-O. So what you do is you pluck them off and plant them.
Just got to wait for another 14 years because this thing's huge.
This is called patience, and you can do it, Steve-O. Yeah. We believe in you.
Yeah, I mightn't be around, though. That's the only problem.
Now, but you've got other mature ones there. They'll all come into flower.
Well, what's a fast-growing thing that Steve-O could replace it with that would be a nuisance for someone else's life 14 years from now?
Well, if you've got a 300-year-old grass tree, a balba tree somewhere, that'll flower for you.
There you go.
Excellent.
It's not fast, but, if you've got a really big one.
It's more your pace. Steve and Jero, good luck with that. Thanks for calling in. 1300 221 0025 is the number if you would like to ask Sabrina Hahn a question. Jim is in Hilton. Hello, Jim. What would you like to ask Sab?
Good morning, girls. Yeah, thanks for a great show. Look, I've got a pomegranate tree that I planted. I bought it from a reputable nursery. It's the perfect plant for the place. It has heaps of fruit and they all split and go crazy, and then the rats come and eat them all. So I don't actually get any pomegranate. I think I've heard you talk about it before. Can you recommend, I think it's probably the variety, and then could you recommend a variety that's going to work?
I had about 4 different pomegranates that I trialled, and I found the one that had the biggest pomegranates that didn't split was one called Wonderful.
I never got
a single pomegranate in 15 years because the rats ate every single one.
Right.
So I used to go to bed at night dreaming of being something out of the Hillbillies, sitting on the veranda in a rocking chair with a shotgun and just shooting them off as they came to my pomegranate tree.
Yeah.
I tried wire cages around the individual fruit and they just chewed through the wire cages. I'd say to you, Jim.
But the wonderful pomegranate, that'll have fruit?
Yeah, and I'm not far from Hilton, so it performs really well in our sandy soil.
Okay, thanks. One of my aims in life is to rid the world of every rat that ever lived, so I'm working on some traps and things very slowly, so...
If you retire, Jim, you could become one of the pest controllers that are really happy with what they do.
Yeah. Well, I'd clap them, and I know they people won't like this, but they're great chook food as well. So Yeah, but thanks very much for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck with it, Jim.
Okay. Thanks for a great show, girls. Really
thanks for
it.
Calling, Jim. Good on you. A couple of people with this information, Sab. Hello, just FYI, capeweed, native to South Africa, which is in Australia and has dandelion-like flowers, is a completely different species to the European dandelion. It's not too good to eat and can be toxic to livestock. How do you spot the difference between those, Sab?
They don't look anything alike.
There we go.
Wow.
Okay.
The leaf is entirely different. The growth is entirely different. I've never heard of capeweed being called a dandelion.
Does it have one of those, like, kind of little things? What do you call them? The puffball on top?
They're little puffballs, yeah. But it's a low growing plant, and it covers hectares. You find it all through agricultural land, and it is a major weed, and you definitely wouldn't want to eat it. All people need to do is Google a picture of dandelion. And then Google a picture of capeweed. You will see that capeweed comes in hectares and dandelions will be more sparse. And the leaf is entirely different.
Completely different, yeah. The leaf is completely different. So it's if you're unsure, please do have a look. That's handy information. But as always, Sabrina Hahn is dead on the money. Kate is in York. Hello, Kate. What's your question for Sab?
Hello, how are you going?
Great.
Yeah, good, Kate.
Good to hear. I was just wondering, we've got three lemon gums in, like, the front yard, and one probably, like, 6 months ago, like, the foliage thinned out a bit and there's a few, like, dead ends of, like, the branches. Anyway, now all three are suffering from whatever that is. There's, like, buffalo grass right up to the trunk. But yeah, so I was going to ring an arborist, but I thought I'd just ring you instead.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
It's definitely nothing to do with the buffalo grass, Kate. If you've got all three dying, there's definitely something to be very concerned about there. So you need to get an arborist in. The first thing you need to check for is Phytophthora dieback because they are susceptible to that. Sometimes with the really old lemon-scented gums, their root system goes down pretty deep, and if the groundwater level has dried up where their root system is, it causes them to really go backwards. You will see that the leaf will be dull in colour. It goes a bit grey, they will shrivel up a bit because there's no moisture getting to the leaves. It could be that. It could be polyphagous shot hole borer. It could be armillaria. So any of those things, you need an arborist. And when the arborist comes out, tell him that you want to get a Phytophthora test done on part of the root system of the tree. You can't tell Phytophthora just from a soil test. They actually need the root to grow the Phytophthora to identify that that's what the problem is.
Right. Okay, that sounds...
And also for polyphagus, you need someone that's going to be able to climb up the tree to check for those tiny little holes.
Oh, as in it will, like, you won't be able to see it from the ground?
No.
Good luck with that, Kate. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
Nadine is in Cloverdale. Hello, Nadine.
Hi, how are you going?
Great. And you?
Great, thank you. I've got a question about a jacaranda tree. We had it pruned back pretty hard because it was hanging over the fence and dropping lots of stuff all over the neighbour's new roof. And my question is, will it come back?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It definitely will.
It was a huge old tree, and I was devastated, like, to come home and find how much had been pruned. Now it's just sticks, and it's like, I want it to come back.
Okay, so in August, I want you to go and get some really good compost and some sheep poo. Mix it together 50-50.
Yeah.
Put that all around the base of the tree. Get a good quality fertilizer that has trace elements in it.
Okay.
A wetting agent, and just give it some lovely tender care. So water that in really well. And look, jacaranda trees live for about 300 years. So it will come back.
Okay, great. Because I'd read stories about how it will send shoots up vertically if it's stressed. So
But also it'll do that if it's had too much pruned off it. Now, if that happens, Nadine, you will have to take some of those vertical shoots out. So you, what you want to look at is you want to look at a tree that's balanced so that the, so that the limbs are well balanced throughout the tree.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
Okay, good luck, Nadine. All right.
Thanks, Nadine. Thanks,
bye.
Kieran would like to know if you're in toilet or a prison, Sabrina Hahn.
No.
You sound
it's
echoey.
Something to... Yeah. Well, I can open up the door.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I just
but
thought
But you
was...
either... Yeah, it either sounds a bit echoey or you get the pool pump that gurgles, and on Tuesday someone thought I was actually in the shower doing the program.
Oh. I just thought it might be a good opportunity to imagine what kind of crime Sabrina Hahn has committed. What would it be off the top of your head? Have a think. Okay, Margaret is in Subiaco. Hello, Margaret. What is your question for Sabrina?
Oh, thank you. Both of you, the program's just the highlight of my week.
Thank you.
I planted two passion fruit in different places. They both developed the virus. And I seem to remember a few weeks ago, Sabrina, you said that it might be possible to spray with something. Was it trace elements to try and keep them as healthy as possible?
Yes. Yep. So trace elements are really good for passion fruit. Passion fruit are really hungry growers, so they will suck up anything that you give them. The other thing is if it's a virus, it's a thing, well, they get a few viruses, but there's one called woody virus, and if they get that, then there's really nothing you can do, and that's where the fruit gets really corky and you won't get any pulp on the inside. The leaves have a, they'll get a discoloration in them. You'll sort of get white speckles coming through. But so feed your passion fruit up as much as you can. That's basically
foliar,
the trick to it.
Foliar or, you know, just lovely fertiliser with everything on the ground.
Yeah. Just get a granular fertiliser, and then with the trace element spray, you'll actually need to you need to get it in a liquid form and see if you can spray it on the foliage, because it's far more productive if you do.
Yeah. Look, that's lovely. Thank you. I just couldn't remember what you said.
So trace elements, always try and put on as a foliar spray, and then you've got the granular that you put on the ground.
Yes, I'll do both of those. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and
Margaret.
The Alternifera ruby, how long do they live?
Usually about 3 to 4 years, and then they get too raggy and you just pull them out and start over again.
Look, that's lovely. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, Margaret. I knew the audience would do a much better job of this than we could, imagining what might have sent you to prison. This is my favourite. Crimes against chihuahuas. And someone says guerrilla gardening under the influence. I reckon it's just gardening under the influence. That's probably...
Do you know, I was because I love insects, and there's lots of little jumping spiders here. So I was down on the ground, like on my stomach, crawling through the through the garden, looking for spiders, and the gardener came up, and he was shouting to all the staff because he thought I'd collapse. But it takes me half an hour to get up from the ground. Right. So then he thought I've been bitten by a snake or something.
Did he call for help?
He did. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, Sab, I feel for you. But Crimes Against Chihuahuas, I don't know if you remember last week.
That.
Sabrina was suggesting that, what was it? Was it numbats or what?
Yeah, no, it was bandicoots digging holes in the guy's lawn.
And Sabrina,
and he was saying there's holes everywhere.
Just start using the size of a chihuahua as a hole size comparison that you could put a chihuahua in it. She wasn't actually going to bury the chihuahua in the hole, but I thought it was just.
As a plug.
Just stick it in there. Here we go. The willful destruction of a stand of palm trees. Beth is in Bonnyfield, and there are a couple of pictures on the screen for you there, Sab. The things are looking quite brown.
Get away, get away.
What? Hello, Beth.
Okay.
Hi.
Beth, it's all right. Calm down. Hello.
My husband found out that I was on the radio, so then he listens on his phone, but it's not synced with yours, and he was... Anyway, very annoying.
Get away.
So I can't concentrate.
What's his name, Beth? What's his name?
I can't tell you because I would have to shoot you. Only because everyone in the Midwest listens and, yeah.
I want to name him. Get away.
His name is Darren.
Darren?
Yes.
Get away, Darren. Be gone with you.
Get away. Be
all
gone.
Right. Beth, what's your question for Sabrina?
Anyway,
you've got brown things.
No, well, what happened is I bought these asparagus corms years ago, and then I was going to move, so I had them in a pot, and then they sat there for 9 years. I'm thinking, well, they haven't really done that well. So I thought I'd better divide them, and I couldn't believe it. They were so pot-bound. It took me a good 2 hours to get them apart. And that is them in the photos of what I got. And I have actually planted them now in a raised garden bed. They've taken the whole raised garden bed up. Yeah. I'm just hoping I've done it right. So I separated a lot of them, but they had these, like, those long, hairy roots.
They're like a tarantula-looking type thing.
Yep, I just didn't know if...
With twice as many legs.
Yep, so I separated them. I planted them about... Yeah. Yeah. 5 centimetres deep in really good vegetable soil, and some of the legs fell off. I would have pulled off more because to me they were like a Nagapantha, and you can pull off a lot of those tendrils, but I didn't know if it was okay.
No, you've done a beautiful job, Beth. God, they're big kahunas. Didn't you get... This is why for asparagus farmers it's a lot of work because... Over here, we usually hand pick. We don't have the asparagus picking machines. But you have to lift and divide your asparagus crowns every 3 to 5 years. So otherwise they get like a monster like yours are. Now that you've divided them up, and it doesn't matter if you pull off some of those, the root system, that's fine. They grow them back very quickly. You've planted them the right way, which is legs down.
Yes.
Because some people plant them upside down, actually. So you will find that you will get much better production now.
Well, someone told me that they only last 12 years, but I heard they lasted...
No.
I thought they lasted forever.
No. I've got... I was doing a garden consult a couple of years ago, and the grandchildren had their great-grandparents' asparagus. It had been passed down through the generations and had been lifted and divided and divided and divided. So those asparagus were over 100 years old.
Great. Thank you. That's awesome.
Good on you. Thanks, Beth, for calling. And, Darren, well done.
Every suburb.
Every street.
Everywhere. Every conversation, every story. Everything Perth.
Everything Perth.
102.5 ABC Perth.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, we do know you're going to dig this. How'd you go this week, Sab?
Well, I'm pretty chilled, I have to say.
Yes.
So this one, it's just called 26.
Okay.
And it's by a band called Camp with two A's, not just one,
band
but two.
Camp. Okay, here it is. Let's see how you go. Sab's pick, 26, by a band called Camp, which is C-A-A-M-P, in case you wanted to know. We have a couple of lines free, 1-300-221-025. If you've got a question for Sab, call now.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hi, I'm Andy Lee.
And that's Wiz.
Oh, he did it.
And we're back with a new season of the kids' favourite,
Do Not Watch This Show.
And do not stream all the episodes.
Oh, I agree.
Right now on ABC iView.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
Where Janice is in Geraldton. Hello, Janice.
Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to ask Sabrina?
I'm in Mount Tarcoola and I've slowly got a change over to natives, mostly natives, and I'm looking at the dwarf coral gum. The Torquata.
Yeah.
The
Torquata. Yep. Yeah.
Would that be appropriate?
Absolutely. It'll do very, very well in Gero. Yeah. When they say dwarf, though, how big are they saying it is, gets to?
Yes. Well, I haven't got one available up here. I can't find anything, but I've seen a friend down at the Greenough River who has got one, but she's lost the tag and she bought it in Perth. And I've got to make sure that it is going to be only like 3-4 metres, yes. 4 metres.
Yes.
Five
so
max.
The Torquata is a little tree. That's why I'm asking why they call it. I wasn't sure if it's been grafted on dwarf rootstock or something. So it is just a little tree. So that will do really well in Geraldton. It's a very pretty little tree. It has the most beautiful flowers and the nuts are really pretty. So that's a good choice, Janice.
Yes. I found the one at Greenough at my friend's house and I fell in love with it and I thought, wow, the nuts and the... Oh, it's just so pretty, pretty, pretty. So if I go to Perth and go to a native nursery and ask for dwarf Torquata...
Yep. You will definitely find them. They're very popular. Yeah. All the nurseries have them.
How do you spell it, Sab?
T-O-R-Q-U-A-T-A.
Torquata.
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 Si.
Torquata.
Good luck with that, Janice, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Send us a photo. And Jane is in Buckland, which is near Northam. Hello, Jane. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning. On my drive into town sometimes, on the left-hand side, the road is a beautiful wild rose. It must have been an old house there at some stage. There's an old wall and everything.
Oh,
and I was, and the scent is amazing. And I was just wondering, can you graft that or what can I do?
Okay, so that's going to be one of the really old roses, Jane. So you would be able to graft it, but also you would be able to grow it from a cutting.
Oh.
So if you have a little rummage around down the base, you'll probably see that it's sent up suckers as well. Well, not so much suckers, but it will have underground shoots coming up. So you can dig those up and plant them. You can grow it from a cutting and you can bud graft it as well. So bud grafting we usually don't do until about November, and then you need rootstock to graft it onto.
Yeah.
But I would take some cuttings. So take cuttings now and then take cuttings again around October.
Yes, well, I drive around with my secateurs and my gloves in my vehicle all the time. So
same.
I'll be leaping the fence and hiking it into the somewhat
I've got secateurs in the glove box. I haven't got the gloves. I want to know who else has got secateurs in the glove box. I reckon it's the way to go for
Thank
a bit
you.
Of...
Thank you.
Yeah, Jane, thank you so much for calling in with that. Good luck with it. Let me know if you can drive around with secateurs. Okay, it'd be good if I could say it, wouldn't it, Sab? Sabrina.
Wow, huh? That's all right. Snippers. Just call them snippers or pruners.
Snippers.
Hey, Amber, I was thinking about, you know, Beth, who had those gigantic asparagus
yes.
crowns.
Yes.
It's a shame that she didn't save them to bring them to our big plant swap in August, because asparagus crowns, you usually only get them once a year, usually in winter, and most of them are only 2 to 3 year old crowns, but hers were like 11 years old. So if people have asparagus that they're digging up and separating this winter, then bring them to our plant swap in August. On the date I can't remember.
I've got that here somewhere. Let me find that for you. In fact, I think Asha might be able to get it for us. It is in August. I'm away, which is I'm super bummed out about. I think Beth is in Bonnyville, which is not in WA. Am I right?
Beth I thought it was Bonnyfield, which
Who knows at this point? You'd be right.
Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. Simon is in Greenmount. Simon, what's your question for Sab?
Oh, yes. Good morning, ladies. Bless me, Sabrina. It's been 6 weeks since my last pruning confession. I've been
you
again.
You are absolved, my son.
Wow, that was
absolved.
Easy.
You know, that was quick, but... my mum gave, she has some worm farms and gave me some juice from the worm farms.
Yeah.
And she told me to dilute it. And
yes.
I thought, well, it looks pretty liquid. So I just poured it straight on a couple of plants and it's been a disaster. I killed a protea and my hibiscus wasn't happy. I'm just wondering... what's in there that was too strong?
So now we have to have another group of men that don't listen to their mothers. It's a new group. We have to come up with the name too. Because, you know, mums have been gardening for a very long time.
They have.
And so your mum probably said, now, Simon... you need to dilute this one part worm juice to 10 parts water. And
absolutely.
That must have gone in the locked shed with your chainsaw and you didn't quite pick that up.
Yes.
Is that your mother? She barking at you.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So the thing about any product that is full of amino acids and enzymes and nitrogen and all sorts of stuff, if you put it on undiluted, the plants cannot uptake it, and it acts the opposite. They can't process it, so they die. And it also upsets all those microscopic organisms that are living in the soil, because you probably knock them off as well.
Yes.
So it's like a little bit of medicine is good, but a lot can kill you.
Yes, I understand. All right, well, I won't do that again, but one just quick question. When I burn off and I might just have garden refuse and just... can you spread that ash around, or should you just put it in the bin?
Yeah. No, you can definitely spread that around your garden. Don't dump it all in the one spot. Spread it around thinly so that you can put it through the entire garden.
Yes, around natives are still okay. Grass trees is
absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. You're a very good sport.
All right, Simon.
Thank you, Simon.
Always listen to your mum.
Bye-bye.
I will from now on.
James, bye, is in Bateman.
See ya.
And just Bonnyfield, everyone's telling me, is north of Dongara. Thank you. My geography's not great. James is in Bateman. Hey, James, you've sent us some photos of some Carnabies. We're very excited to see these.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Amber. I've got the macadamia nut tree out the back, and I share it with actually ones that I've sent photos through are the red tails and cockatoos. The Carnabies do come around our area in Bateman as well, but the macadamia nut tree just grows prolifically each year, and I keep cutting it back to probably about 2.5 metres and then takes off again. And
yeah,
I didn't look after it when it was young, so it's got four trunks.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, how much should I cut it back and at what time?
Usually macadamias are pruned as soon as they finish fruiting. Once the fruit is ripe, the nut is ripe. The macadamia farmers do prune quite heavily, but they wouldn't prune more than 35-40% off.
35-40%. See, I had two troubles. Is that as soon as the nuts are more or less off now, but now the New Holland honey eaters have gone in there and built in a nest, so I don't want to kind of rip out their home either.
No. Can you wait? Well, so do the Carnabies come to your macadamia?
Well, they haven't this year because there hasn't been so many nuts. The nuts have reduced in number markedly. But in the past, you know, they just kind of sit on the top of the tree and I let them have their half and I have the bottom half.
Yeah. Is it because you think you're pruning too often?
Ooh.
That you're not getting the harvest?
When I prune, and then the shoots just go straight up for the growth for the next season. And it's quite dense. I sent some photos in to show the density of it. The tree's about 3.5 by 3.5 metres.
Yeah.
And I cut it back to about 2.5.
Right. I would actually let it go for a bit, James.
Yeah.
Just because when you do the heavy pruning, you change the shape of the tree and the fruiting wood. So if you can, just let it go for a couple of years until it actually develops different growth, and then go back to prune it.
Yeah, the trouble is it gets so huge then, you know, it's kind of hard to handle. Can I prune it back fairly solidly this year?
Yeah, yep. If that's your only choice, you can, yeah.
50%? Mm.
50%.
40%.
No, not 40. 50, 40.
40%.
Yeah.
There you go, James. 40%. Good luck with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Let us know how you go. Sab, we have a text here from Fred. Fred says he has secateurs in the glove box, which is great because you never know when you need to do a drive-by pruning.
Man. And, you can use the – if you've got secateurs, you know when you buy tools and they're strapped on with the bloody – those zip ties.
Yes.
And you can't get it out of the package.
That's right.
Having a pair of secateurs in your glove box is really handy.
It's true.
Or you're wearing a shirt and it's got an irritating label on the back and you can't stand it when you're driving.
Gee,
you just pull over, whip your shirt off, get your secateurs out, take the label off.
They're very sharp secateurs. Mine are not that powerful. Helen is in Willerton with a lawn question, and there are photos on the screen there, Sab. Can you see them?
Mm.
Hi, Helen.
She's got a lawn, and she's got lots of little. Helen, you've got lots of little piles of dirt.
Yes.
Do you need a chihuahua?
Overjoyed with.
Sorry.
You should be overjoyed with that because it's probably worms. It's not mole crickets at this time of the year. So it's more than likely worms.
Okay. so I can just leave them happily to aerate my soil for me?
Absolutely, you can, and digest all of the protozoa and everything else they're eating in there, and then leaving you with beautiful worm castings, which will feed your lawn and it will grow abundantly in spring.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you for that.
Well done.
And I will say that I do have secateurs, not in my glove box, but the rear passenger door behind the driver, so that if I happen to see a really lovely plant, I can just, you know, pull over.
Yeah.
And, you know, jump out, get the secateurs out and have a little snip.
This is what you get when you join Fronds with Benefits. I want to hear from anyone who's got a pair of secateurs in their handbag. Helen, good luck with that. Thanks for calling in. What a fun time we always have here on Roots and Shoots. Somebody's texted in about the other kit that they've got in the car that makes them look like they might be up to misdeeds, and I want to speak to that person. Keith is in Willerton. I'd like to speak to you too, sir. Have you done any pruning lately?
I'm about to be told to do some, I think.
Hey!
Just a quick one. I've been here for 50-odd years, and the lemon tree's here, been here about as long as I have. Citrus gall wasp, getting a lot of it through it, which is interesting because it's the lemon tree's got a lot of it. About 5 metres, 10 metres away, I've got a orange tree, which has got a very little, which I can just prune off easily. Yeah. And then about 10 metres away from that, there's a lime tree, which is absolutely covered in, with it. So, but with the lemon tree in particular, can I just leave it, or, I mean, it's all through it. So,
just leave gall wasp, Keith, because what happens is you're just reproducing them at a rapid rate at your place. Now, people are going to text in and ring in and saying to use kale and clay, and you pack that around the gall, but it's not always effective. So if you have galls on your tree now and they have holes in those swellings, it means that the wasp has left the building. So you can leave those on that already have holes in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got galls where there's no holes, you either need to cut them off or you try packing it with a mixture of kale and clay, and you pack that around the gall. But if you've got, you know, 100 galls on the tree,
the tree's close to 4 metres high. So can I seriously cut the tree back so that it's back basically to a stick? Yeah.
Well, you've got no other choice. So now, if the lemon tree is 50 years old, they usually drop off in production round about that time, between 50, 60 years old. So you've got no choice, Keith. You have to cut it right back. If it doesn't come back, then get yourself a new lemon tree.
I'm not sure I'm going to be around for that much longer. Never mind, we'll give it a try.
Good on you.
Thanks very much for that.
Yeah. Thanks,
okay,
Keith.
Thank you.
John is in Floreat. Hello, John. We've got some photos of what are we looking at?
Lily pillies.
Oh, we've got a lily pilly hedge that's it's a little bit naked.
Yes, absolutely. It's about 10 metres long. Most of it is still growing well. I've actually hacked it down about a metre about 2 months ago, but there's a section of about 3 metres where it's just been, it's naked, it's denuded. Mm. It's got some new, it's got lots of new shoots on it, but I can't find any leaf curling or browning or anything like that. And I'm just wondering, I only found out that they're natives in Australia. Can I fertilise it?
To New South Wales and Queensland.
Right.
Now, they look fairly densely planted, John.
I don't like your tone, Sabrina.
And they're in a narrow bed, I think they're really all struggling for water and nutrients. Yeah.
Right. When I planted them, when they were only 30 centimetres high, they didn't look that dense, but yes, now they're quite old. Yeah. Okay, so you recommend
it. So I think the competition is pretty tough. I would take every second one out.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
See, there's another group called people that plant too much. now, honestly, I would definitely take every second one out. Then you need to really improve that soil. So even if you have to dig out some of the soil with, you know, one of those little tiny shovels, so that you can get some compost and manure and fertilizer and wetting agent in that bed. But they're really densely planted, so the competition is just too much for them.
Wow, I never thought. Well, that was my next question, is that I've really never fertilized them since I put them in about 10 years ago. And I was just wondering, are they...
I'm amazed they're still alive, John. Now, lily pillies come from more, you know, tropical, semi-tropical areas that has sort of that volcanic alluvial soil. So Queensland, northern New South Wales, very different soil type to what we have here. So you will need to fertilise them twice a year, thin them out by 50%, get compost manure on it, fertiliser, wetting agent, and that's your weekend gone, John.
There you go.
Yeah. Multiple weekends, I think. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And I'm in Floreat, so we've just got black sand here.
Sand, yeah.
John, well, good luck with that. Okay. Let us know
Thanks
how you
very
go.
Much.
Thank you. Sabrina, this is lovely to me. Eve in Jandakot says, I have secateurs everywhere because I usually forget where I've put them, so then go out and buy another pair. I've got 8 or 9 pairs by now, a couple in most rooms, the kitchen, the car, on the patio. Women who prune too much, she says. No, it's about how far you go, Eve, more than how frequently you do it. It's about knowing when to stop, which seems to be a gland or a gene or a chromosome.
Yeah, I think it's a gene.
Is it? It's a gene. That, well, I don't know. Kevin, do you have the pruning too much gene?
Sometimes.
Okay, they all have. Listen, you can hear him. He sounds guilty. You lock him up for crimes against pruning. What's your question for Sab?
Is this for Kevin? I take it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, Kevin. What did I call you?
Yeah, sorry, Kevin. Yeah. Look, I've got a lovely birch tree out the front. It's probably 25 years old. And the root has started to appear to come through my lovely lawn that I've got. It's about 2 to 2.5 metres from the trunk. Can I trim it up? Can I trim it up and put something on it? Do I need to seal it with anything?
No, do not seal anything. You may prune that. Do you know what the tree is, Kevin?
No, I don't know. I've got two of them, one either side of me driveway. They've got like a blue berry that comes on them. And then, of course, they lose them, and then all the seeds fall on the lawn. The birds love them.
And the birds will pick it up. Maybe it's an Elaeocarpus, a blueberry ash. Anyway, because the tree is 25 years old, you can actually just cut that root off. Do not seal it.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what you might find is it may affect one or two branches in the tree, won't kill them, but you may get a bit of defoliation. The reason you don't put anything on the root is because the trees have their own healing mechanism. They will block that root off at the base and prevent bacteria and fungi coming in. So just prune the root, don't seal it, cover it up with dirt, and your lawn will grow across it.
Right. And just one you mentioned about hibiscus a while back, I just want one around about 2 to 3 metres tall to replace one I've lost. What's the best one to buy there?
Oh, my goodness. All there are hibiscus in all the nurseries at the moment. Kevin, you are going to be spoilt for choice. So go and have a look. Most of the hibiscus they sell now, the maximum height they get to is 2 metres anyway. So
yeah, that's what I want. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's heaps of them.
Good luck with that, Kevin.
Enjoy Bali. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike in Daglish says, this bonsai ficus has the black soot all over it. How do I clean it and prevent further issues, Sab?
Okay, because it's a bonsai, you can spray it with a bit of pest oil, which gets rid of why it's got the sooty mould. You can get a little toothbrush and soapy water.
Ooh.
And with your toothbrush, you're going to scrape off, you're going to rub off, clean its bark with your little toothbrush. It sloughs off. And that's all you need to do, soapy water and a toothbrush.
I reckon that sounds like a really beautiful project for a Saturday. This one, when do you prune and graft a fig tree and how much to prune, says Anne.
Okay, so you prune in winter and you can graft. You can do a hard pruning graft in winter. You can also do a graft in the summertime. So you don't want your graft more than 30 centimetres long. You can prune your fig tree by up to 50, 60% if you want.
Sabrina Hahn, don't do anything silly in Bali. You
no.
Come back in one piece. We love you so much. We hate it when you're
I
away.
Promise.
Are you back next week?
I'm back tonight.
You're back tonight. I will see you next Saturday. We will get to play. Thanks for your company, everyone. We'll be back next week. It is 10 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturday morning from 9 o'clock or Tuesday afternoons at 20 past 2. Tune in on your radio on 102.5 FM or on the ABC Listen app. Just look for the ABC Perth live stream. And that's also your chance to get in your own gardening questions. Give us a call on 1300 22 1025 or text 0437 22 1025. Catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.